Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Pick up a copy and also check out our website, entrepreneur.com. We are entrepreneurs. I am an entrepreneur. Today, a special guest, Dick Schulz. He is the founder of Best Buy Company Incorporated. He's also founder and chairman emeritus of the Richard M. Schulz Family Foundation. And he has something very special going on. He's going to talk to us about the Schulz Entrepreneurship Challenge, of which he announces the winning team today here on the show, a $250,000 worth of prize money. We love anything that has to do with entrepreneurs, and I'd like to introduce Dick Schulz. Dick, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Alan. Thank you so much, and thanks for having us along with you.
Well, first of all, thank you for being a fantastic entrepreneur. I was reading about you just a little bit. Of course, born and raised in St. Paul, Minnesota. I know you guys had some snow there, some record snow this week.
We did.
But I love the fact that you adhered to this lifelong, you know, the whole values of integrity, humility, honesty, and respect. And of course, Best Buy is the world's largest multi-channel consumer electronic retailer. And it's all because you set into play systems and processes that had those virtues and values built in. Could you just for a moment tell us about your journey? Just give us 2 or 3 minutes on the journey to being the world's largest of anything. But in an entrepreneurship world, the Best Buy, everyone knows Best Buy. It wasn't, you know, wasn't an easy task. Give us 2 minutes.
Well, it wasn't easy, and we are obviously thrilled and extraordinarily excited about the role that Best Buy has played in bringing consumer electronics, home office, major appliance, computer products to our American consumers, and candidly, our Canadian and Mexican consumers as well. We have over 1,000 stores today. I think you probably know also over $40 billion in revenue. We actually employ about 100,000 employees. So excited about the impact we have on the economy of our country, but most especially the journey that I've taken for myself, starting very small and back in 1966 with Sound of Music, which was a boutique chain of audio component stores that grew into Best Buy as we diversified product offerings. And that diversified strategy wound up with larger stores in more places, offering more services. And we became increasingly more important to customers because at the end of the day, we actually were the company that stayed focused more closely on the benefits to the customer. Strong believer from the very beginning that it's all about the customer. Stay connected to the customer. I use the term lockstep. Understand what the customers need. Try your very best to be there for them in every way you can. Also focus very strongly on the importance of employees because I feel they're the next most important group in building a successful company. How do you put talented, high energy, focused, and employees who share your vision right alongside the success that you grow? Evolve to strategic partnerships where you can actually engage people that do things really well that we don't do and find ways to partner meaningfully so you can create win-win outcomes. And when you do that, my view is that shareholders win really big. So our shareholders obviously are winning big with the way Best Buy is performing and has performed for the most part over the course of the last 50 years. And so it's been a real adrenaline trip for me personally, and seeing young people come into our company, see them learn, see them grow, see them advance, see them take on more responsibility, see them open our eyes and doors to new and different and better ways in which we can serve our customers just gives me a great feeling. So I'm just excited about what's been done certainly in my life and what's been done at Best Buy, and now we have the opportunity to share some of that with young people like Megan and Jackie, who are here this morning with me, having won the competition from 25 different schools across the country whose applicants were competing for prize money. And it's just great to see now the Schultz School of Entrepreneurship, which was started about 14 years ago.
All right, hold tight. Let me take a break. I want to hear all about this. I want to meet these two entrepreneurs. And you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We have a big entrepreneur who is now giving it, paying it forward to help others to become entrepreneurs. Dick Schultz on the line. The Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge. We're gonna hear from the two winners and more from Dick Schultz. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
You are listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, a very special guest today, Dick Schultz. He is the founder of Best Buy, founder and chairman emeritus of the Richard M. Schultz Family Foundation. The Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge is actually held at the Schultz School of Entrepreneurship, was funded by a $50 million gift in the year 2000 by the Schultz and his late wife, Sandra, and at the University of St. Thomas. And they are the Board of Trustees since 1995 and Chairman of the Board of Governors of the University of Opus College of Business. And Dick, first of all, thank you, because it is people like you that keep entrepreneurship, you know, alive and in this way. And with Megan Shirkus and Jackie Page, who are the winners this year, are on the line with us as well. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And Dick, could you just talk about this Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge real quick and tell us what these ladies have won and what they had to do to get there?
Okay, thanks, Alan. This is an exciting weekend for us, just completed with the competitions from young undergraduate students that attend colleges and universities all around the country. There were 110 colleges that participated in this year's competition. And they were judging these young undergraduate students in their own colleges and universities to pick the best business plan and the most high energy and certainly to their way of thinking about things, the most competitive groups they could field. And they submitted these competitions online to a panel of judges here at the Schultz School. These judges looked very carefully at all of these plans and narrowed the 110 down to 25. Invited these 25 to Minneapolis for this weekend, where they could actually showcase their dream, their plan for building a business, and how it would engage in the marketplace, and what they would need to do to grow it into a high level of success. So we had our own panel of judges that broke the 25 contestants into groups, and each of these groups had the opportunity to tell their story, demonstrate the background material that they had researched, and paint a picture for the future. The judges pick a winner from each of the five flights, and then at the end of the day on Saturday, we had the five winners all make 15-minute presentations with 10-minute Q&A sessions, and I had the great good fortune of sitting with the two grand prize winners, $75,000 in their pocketbook, or I guess their purse, you might say, as they look to investing in building the future for their company. So we're happy at the Schultz School of Entrepreneurship just to help young people get their hands and their heart around what they can do to take control of their own destiny and make a difference in the economy of our great country.
That is absolutely awesome. I want to hear from all three of you, because the one thing we always do is try and have you folks that are, you know, the entrepreneurs of this world leave our show by giving one very important piece of advice to entrepreneurs of any age, because there's a lot of people that are afraid to take that step. And obviously, through the foundation that you've set up and through this amazing Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge that you have going on, I'm so glad to be able to promote this, by the way, because we need more of this. We need more people like you, Dick, because at the end of the day, it's not easy being an entrepreneur and having that leg up. You might, like these two ladies, that now have a chance to start their lives, and the ripple effect from what you have done for them and for everybody else, truthfully, even the losers aren't losers, they're winners, because they are one step closer to living their dream as an entrepreneur. Wouldn't you agree?
I would absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And we're as excited about it as you are, Alan. It's the right thing to be doing.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to meet the two winners, and we're going to hear some advice from them, too. And you can find out more about this. I think it looks like at the SchultzFamilyFoundation.org or the stthomas.edu/business/schultz-school-about. But I think if you just go to the SchultzFamilyFoundation.org, you can probably find it. We'll take a little break and come back with Dick Schultz and the two winners of the Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge, which I think is just awesome. Don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. Pick up an issue of our magazine on newsstands everywhere. And Entrepreneur, we have Women Entrepreneur, we have Young Entrepreneur. So we have a little something for everybody. This brand is to help you, give you the tools you need to become that entrepreneur and live your life, the dream that you want to live, being an entrepreneur. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Media, Entrepreneur Magazine, and we have a special guest today, Dick Schultz. He is the founder of Best Buy. He's also the founder and chairman emeritus of the Richard M. Schultz Family Foundation, and they have the Schultz Entrepreneurship Challenge, and we have the two winners as well. So let me start out with Megan Cherkis, one of the winners. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan.
And first of all, congratulations, and tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, give us the 30-second pitch.
I created Expression Bad adhesives for wearable devices in diabetes to help these expensive tapes stay on longer to save families money, make them more comfortable to wear, and painless and residue-less to remove. We also add design so that they can be fun for people of all ages.
Love it. How old are you, Megan?
I am 20 years old.
Fantastic. That's all I can say. I love this. Okay, so now, in your vast 20 years, you must have some advice for other entrepreneurs, because now that you are set out on the ocean of entrepreneurship, what have you learned so far that you can say to people, in order to be an entrepreneur, you must do what? What
all
advice?
Right. My best piece of advice is that once you find out what you're passionate about and you know what you want to do, you need to be as educated as possible. And to do that, you know, that might be through internet resources. That might be asking the right questions to the right people. Because at the end of the day, each project is so specific that right now, arguably, there's very few people in this country that know as much about diabetes and adhesive materials and how that relates to skin and then how that relates to the medical process as we do, because we put all our effort into learning about that. And bridging off of that for a small piece is that take no, or the idea that something can't be done, as an opportunity to innovate instead of a roadblock. So when people told us we couldn't use a certain material that we know would be the best, we did the research to make it work for application. When we found the perfect material and people said we couldn't print on it, we studied the science behind, you know, the inks and then the processes behind manufacturing. And we were able to do what no one else had done before. Because if they said it could be done, it would have already been done.
So don't take no for an answer. You get a big gold star, Megan Cherkis. All right, Jackie Page, give us 2 minutes on your best advice for entrepreneurs.
So I joined Megan's team in September. So really one thing that I had to learn once I joined the company was just about the disease itself. So I would kind of echo Megan in that education plays a huge role in understanding the customer, being empathetic of the customer. And then also my other advice would just to be hustle hard, find the right resources, and do a bunch of self-learning. You know, if you don't know something, find someone that does. Seek advice, use your resources the absolute best way that you can.
I love it. Fantastic. How old are you, Jackie?
I'm also 20.
That is awesome. I absolutely love this. Dick Schultz, you have done something tremendous here to give these two ladies and many this opportunity. I noticed when you were talking earlier, you said customer, customer, employee, partnerships, win-win. And sew that all together with integrity, humility, honesty, and respect, and you have Best Buy. Give us your two minutes.
Well, you know, I really think it's important for young people today to be willing to follow their dream and create the pursuit of what they believe can be their future with passion, with purpose, and with persistence. And these two young ladies exhibit all three of those characteristics. They're extremely excited about who they're serving, type 1 diabetics. What can be a better target than that? They're doing it with a product that obviously goes beyond anything that's in the marketplace today. How can you not pursue the importance of that?
Right.
And they had the great good sense to ask great questions, keep asking questions, get those answers, find a mentor, get to the resources you need that can help you with the issues and the challenges that you're going to face in growing your business. And the more people that partner with you and the more people that take you under their wing and share what they've learned and whatever their fields of pursuit have been, the more learnings you can have. So entrepreneurship is a gift, and it's to be embellished. It's to be seeded. It's to be fertilized. It's to be grown. And this country needs entrepreneurs to build successful businesses. And the more and more of us that have been there, done that, that are willing to put out a helping hand and share what they've learned and help people grow into successful business people is all going to help our great country.
Fantastic. SchultzFamilyFoundation.org. Unbelievable. When does the next competition start, real quick?
It starts, I think, in February of the year and culminates in April.
Okay.
So it's about a 60-day window where there's a full-court press on bringing these great ideas to the surface.
Did I give the right place that they should check? Is it Schultz Family Foundation, or do you have another one that's better?
Well, it's the Schultz Family Foundation, obviously, is the centerpiece that funds all of this.
Yep.
The Schultz School of Entrepreneurship is the place where it all happens.
Okay.
And EIX.org is where you can see the videos that just were done over the weekend with all of the contestants and these winners in particular.
Okay.
And gather all kinds of great information and interviews to help young people fight their way through challenges and learn and grow.
All right, Dick Schultz and Megan Cherkis, Jackie Page, congratulations. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you being entrepreneurs. Well done. Thank you, sir. We'll be back in a minute. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I know the ooga, ooga, chaka, ooga, chaka. I mean, that just throws you off. Whether you're walking on your treadmill, riding a bike, driving in the car, listening on the radio in your garage, whatever, you're like, what is this show? What is it? Well, to me, tribal knowledge, man, that's what it's about. So the ooga, chaka, that's my tribe. Oh, hooked on a feeling too, by the way. I'm Alan Taylor. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm proud to be a part of Entrepreneur Magazine. And I have this interesting guest right now. He already said something that made me start laughing. He says he goes to trade shows and he hates going to trade shows because what happens is, you know, everybody's standing around talking and they go out into the lobby and do something called LobbyCon. LobbyCon. I love that. It's like, it's so true. And then people are afraid to give out their business cards because they're going to be attacked by the piranha of salespeople chewing the meat off of their ankles. So it's like, you know, he starts his own thing. Nate Lind is his name, founder and CEO of AdSum. What the hell is AdSum, Nate?
You know, Alan, thanks for having me on the show. AdSum, it's my anti-trade show trade show. It's the antithesis of everything that I hated about trade shows. and all of the fun stuff that is just, you know, meeting good people, having great connections, doing it in a cool spot. We've been in Aspen, Colorado the last couple of years.
Nice.
I'm excited to announce that we're moving it to Scottsdale, Arizona this year.
Oh, boy.
On a beautiful facility.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the stuff that makes AdSum unique. And it, you hit the nail on the head. We embrace LobbyCon. We actually build a lobby in our event hall so that people can sit down and actually conduct business meetings and it be at a more relaxed pace than them walking through the event hall or the exhibit hall, afraid to even part with their business card because of those piranhas that you were just talking about.
Right, right. Well, and to give people a little background on you, and we can get into a little more as we go, but you've been a serial entrepreneur since your early 20s, and in those 20s, you did $100 million worth of real estate. Am I doing this right? $100 million, right?
As a flipper, I did 50 just by myself, and I was also worked for a company that they were buying and selling mortgage notes and loans, so easily another 50 there. And for a period of time in my late 20s, I actually was an asset manager at a couple of larger banks where they had billions of dollars worth of portfolios. So it's been a pretty fun ride in my 20s. I got to really watch the rise of the real estate market and then its implosion as well. And fortunately, I didn't get caught up in a ton of that. Didn't lose my shirt. I didn't lose my shorts. I maybe lost my socks, but it was a fun ride.
Wow. Well, which tells you right there, because to be able to say that if he was in his 20s and that was going on, he's only in his 30s now and in his later 30s, but he's already done $100 million in e-commerce business. Nate Lynn knows what the hell he's doing, evidently. I love this, Nate. This is great stuff. So,
you know, I'm Mr. Super Humble Guy. I'm just out there hustling, trying to connect a few other people as well. I'm by no means do I consider myself a guru.
You know what? But here's what I like. So I typically ask people, give me that 1 minute elevator pitch, because of course Entrepreneur has the show elevator pitch, right? If you can't convey your mojo to somebody in that minute, like we do on Elevator Pitch, Entrepreneur, check it out, entrepreneur.com, elevatorpitch.com. You can also, it's kind of like Shark Tank. If you can't convey that, whatever it is you do in that 1 minute, then the elevator goes down and you did a good job. I mean, I got all that stuff that you guys just heard out of me. You know, I got the LobbyCon thing. He got the, you know, 100 million in his 20s and 100 million in his 30s. I asked him how old he was, 38 years old. I'm looking, he says, you know, people are like sitting and talking, you know, at trade shows, and they go out of the lobby and do LobbyCon, and then we embrace that. I'm like, dude, man, you get it, because I don't even take business cards to trade shows anymore purposely. Here's my thought on this, all right? And we're going to riff on this, because you talked about warts. You wanted to talk war stories, warts and all?
Yep.
I'm into warts and war stories, okay? But
yep.
I would go to trade shows. People say, can I get your card? I go, well, I ran out. I don't have any. I haven't had cards in years. I have cards, but I haven't had them with me in years because of that reason you talked about. But also what happens is, if a person really wants your card and you want really to give them that card, you then start a real relationship, because you have to stand there for a moment and you have to kind of exchange a trust, which is, what's your phone number or what's your email address? And if they're willing to give it to you, the beginning of a relationship has begun. Am I right?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. That's a huge piece of this. And I think the environment has everything to do with creating those successful connections. And that's the other thing I just hate about so many trade shows. They're in conference centers, and all it is booths and banners. I hate that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We don't do it that way. You know, we really want to create the best opportunity, the most magic we can pack into a 30-second conversation, because that's all everyone's doing are their elevator pitches, just like you said.
Right, right. Okay, so here's a little note that my gal gave me. She's, you know, I have a team that they kind of look you over, and then they hand me a two-pager that has like four questions. It's right. So they've done all their homework. I don't get to do much, and sometimes it's funnier than hell the way I have to learn about people. But question number two, which strikes me right out of the bat, because number one we did kind of naturally. Number two is, how can teaming up with your competition help you dominate the industry? And I'm thinking to myself, I'd like to hear the answer to that.
So I have made a career on working with my competition in the real estate universe, working with and doing masterminds with competitors that were flipping houses, that was a huge piece of success in e-commerce. Same sort of situation. I believe the shortest distance is through learning from others' mistakes as much as possible, so you don't have to make those yourself. And there's no better person to share their mistakes than your competition. Mm-hmm. And it obviously it puts you in a little bit of an interesting situation, but as long as you give into the relationship before you ask, it's like putting money in the bank. You've got to put some money into the bank before you can withdraw any of it. And it really works the same way in relationships. And it's really interesting how in today's day and age, there's not a lot of that goes on because of this short conversations people have in social media. People aren't using it very wisely. So you've got to get face to face and meet with people and find out who those competitors are in your industry, in your niche, and then befriend them.
I love it. It's all fantastic advice. And you know, you listeners out there, that you hate not knowing what's in the future and you struggle with the not knowing. But you got to have something called confidence. You got to have something called courage to move forward into this world of the unknown. But don't struggle, man. If you're in quicksand, the more you struggle, the further you go down. Be calm. We'll teach you this stuff. That's what Entrepreneur is all about. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Week.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by the 2018 Kia Stinger, fueled by youth. Kia. I've driven it. It's a nice car. Joining me right now is Nate Lund, and he is with AdSum, AdSum.net, an advertiser-focused performance marketing trade show. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. Nate Lund is the founder and CEO, entrepreneur, maniac. Nice guy, 38 years old, seems to know what the hell he's talking about. I already like you, Nate. You're already, okay, you're on my friend list. I'm going to find you and we're going to hang. Tell me, so who is the person you're looking for? Who can benefit through AdSum?
So AdSum is really for any online entrepreneur. So if you're a company that sells things online or you're aspiring, you know, if you're a retail company and you want to sell things online, AdSum is the mecca for that entire crowd. It's the shortest distance to success. I've surrounded the event with a number of great companies that facilitate and partake of the event to enable everyone's success. It's a big ecosystem. It's a big, big happy ecosystem for everybody involved.
Do you do any kind of mastermind stuff while you're there too?
We do. So separate from AdSum, I have a mastermind called Legends. Oh. And it's kind of the big fish in the pond, so to speak. And in fact, we've got a meeting for the Legends coming up where we're doing it at the Shopify headquarters in Ottawa, Canada. Mm. Now, how exciting is that?
Well, it's not exciting because Alan Taylor hasn't been invited yet. Come on. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we'll make sure we'll take care of that.
I'm playing. Okay, so what did achieving $100 million in real estate sales and $100 million in online sales have in common? Because those are two big fat numbers. You're a young guy. Where do we draw the kind of the crossroads between those two?
The relationships. Alan, it's absolutely a relationship game. Anything entrepreneurial is. When I first got into the online space in my 30s, I was absolutely taken aback on how immature the communities and the whole networking and stuff was going on. There was really just a very superficial amount of networking going on at these trade shows. Again, you know, these trade shows that were really set up just to part you from your business card to somebody who maybe didn't really need you or want you or have anything to do with you, but you still found yourself on the hook to having phone calls with them until you figured out that it was a waste of your time. And we spent a bunch of time in the early days just doing networking and flying around and meeting people and just trying to uncover who are the big fish in the industry and how to work with them, how to provide value to them. And I noticed that was very similar to the real estate world that I'd come from. And in the real estate world, there's a very mature group or groups of entrepreneurs that get together in masterminds and, seminars and that kind of stuff. And that to me was a missing piece when I first got into e-commerce, but it's slowly catching up, and I've been excited to be able to participate in that role.
Cool. All right. So you talk about relationships being the most important thing. Have you ever gone water skiing before? Bear with me.
I've been on Sea-Doos.
Okay. So you've seen people water skiing. Here's the deal. I'll be the boat. You hold on. We're going to have some fun. Let's talk about man-woman relationships. How you doing in that regard?
Loving wife, been with for 13 years, and we've got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old who I love to death. It's awesome. It can always use improvement. As I think any entrepreneur, you struggle with how much time do you spend working your buns off to provide for your family versus actually spending time with your family. And it is super critical that you spend as much time as you can with them, because those little boys and girls, for anyone that's out there, grow up awfully fast.
Tell me about it. I'm about to be a grandfather any second here. I'm waiting for baby watch right now. Whew, it's amazing how fast it happens. And I've been 32 years married, 37 with the same woman. I love her to death. And man, do you have trials and tribulations when you're in relationships that long. But you know what? It's all designed to help you to become the best human being you can be, the best man in our cases, Nate, that we can possibly be. You know, go ahead.
If I can share one comment that I think would be really helpful to those entrepreneurs out there that have struggled with that time management balance, much like myself, read Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages and take the test at the end. Figure out what your love language is and your spouse's love language is, and fill that fuel tank of love with whatever that love language is, and all the miscellaneous arguments will just disappear.
So what you're saying is throw out Kama Sutra and grab the other book.
save Kama Sutra for after some wine or a beer, and then pull it up. But start with the other one first.
That's funny. Me and my wife, neither one of us drink, so we're stuck with each other watching Fox News and CNN and look at each other. What's going on in the world, right? So this is funny stuff, and I really appreciate you said you like to share war stories. In 1 minute, I'm going to take another commercial break. When we come back, I want you to share out of these $100 million escapades 2 times what you have learned that has helped you to become the best entrepreneur, father, husband, human being that you could possibly be, that will help these people that are listening, because it's that stuff. I mean, even that book, 5 Love Languages, I'm going to be going to pick it up. My wife constantly says, you're not listening, you're not present. And I'm like, I'm standing right here. No, but you're not present. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I got to figure out what present means to her. There's a whole, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, 5 love languages. How many languages do I need to learn? They don't have a thing for this. I got to. Anyway, that's what you're here for, Nate Lind. We'll take a break. I'm having a little fun with you. Nate Lind, founder and CEO, adsum.net, ADSUM.net. We're going to be back, and he's going to put his professor's cap on. Right back.
They got a lot of nice girls.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, my job is to have a little bit of fun with my guests, with my wife, with my children, with you guys and gals out there, and make you smile every now and then, because some of life, is tough. Sometimes we're going through tough stuff. And so having a little bit of a, levity to me helps to make life a little easier. Nate Lind is here. Is it L-I-N-D? Nate Lind. And you guys can look him
That's
up. You can, yeah, he's on, let's see here. Twitter is The Ad Sum. Instagram, The Ad Sum. Facebook, The Ad Sum. Pretty easy. And then adsum.net on the web for the it's an advertiser-focused performance marketing trade show moving to Scottsdale. When is it going to be, by the way?
It's going to be October 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Okay. 2018. So it's
2018.
All right, here's your chance to put your professor's cap on, and you've already delivered a book, The 5 Love Languages. I've delivered one, Kama Sutra. I don't have it. I've never looked at it, but I'm just joking. Point is, life is interesting and it takes a village. And I have a fun Facebook. You guys can check it out. I have Tribal Knowledge. Go to Tribal Knowledge on Facebook. And I always post fun little things. All right, Professor, give us some love here, brother.
One of the key things that has probably cost me the most, and I know everyone likes to stray away from the negative side of being an entrepreneur, but listen, I'm going to share a little bit of a lesson for you guys so maybe you don't make my same mistake, because you don't sell $100 million worth of products or do $100 million worth of real estate without goofing up somewhere along the way.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you, the one that probably cost me the most is not doing my due diligence with business partners. And what I mean by that is...
Ouch! You know, oh, wait a minute. I resemble that remark. Anyway, continue. Oh. Yes, I could sell my favorite car to buy out the last one. Anyway, continue. You're right. But go ahead.
You have absolutely got to spend more... Like, in every relationship, there's a honeymoon phase. And you meet somebody, and you've got, you know, similar... What you think, similar goals, values, etc. And you start, you know, you get caught up in the entrepreneurial excitement and working through, you know, you're solving problems together. And you found, you know, you're both problem solvers, or all three of you, you know, however many partners it is. And that's just such a relief, because, you know, employees out there just find problems, don't solve problems. So you're a kindred spirit. And then all of a sudden, you're 5 years down the road, and this person that you thought was your best friend, you know, ends up, you know, being just a very difficult person to work with or to manage employees with. And you'd wish you'd done just a little bit of due diligence. So I'm going to share a couple of suggestions on how to figure out whether you're going to step into a partnership that's doomed to fail. But first, the due diligence part.
All right. So it's just like, you know, when you see two dogs sniffing each other's rear ends, that's a little due diligence in the dog world, right?
Little due diligence.
There
that's
you
right.
Go.
So look to see, do they have any previous partnerships or other business arrangements that would speak on their behalf? You know, just ask them, who else have you been partners with? Can you talk to them?
Yeah.
And it's really telling, are they working with anybody now that they've continued to work with for a number of years? Or do they just churn through people?
And does that include ex-wives or anything like that? Not that I have any.
You could go so far as that.
Oh, that would be horrible.
The longevity of those relationships is so critical. And if they, you know, just bouncing around, or if there's some story around how they get ripped off or they got, you know, goofed over or whatever it was, if that's like a common theme, that's a huge red flag.
I agree 100%. Keep going.
So that's a huge piece. And you want to understand, when you're walking into the relationship, how is the equality of it going to be? Who's got skin in the game? And that's something else that was a real big challenge for me. If one person has skin in the game and the other person just has sweat equity, over time, unless there's an equitable amount of ownership heavily in favor of the person who has the skin in the game, the relationship is probably not going to work out. And that's something else good to find out about your potential business partner. What do they have skin in the game right now? Because that's going to be what they're going to focus their time and attention on. And if they don't have skin in the game with whatever you're working on, and they have skin in the game in other stuff, you're going to bet they're going to spend more of their time on what they've got skin in the game than something they just have sweat equity.
I love it, man. I love everything you've said. You're a very wise young man, because, you know, this is stuff that people usually take many, many, many years and many failures in business and life and marriage to finally kind of distill it down to a few wise words. And life is pretty simple. And it comes back to my talk when I gave it here a little bit ago about when you're in quicksand, you better remain calm and you better find good advice from people of what to do next. And this has been good advice from Nate Lind, founder and CEO of AdSum.net. Check out his event, AdSum.net. Great job, Nate. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. That's it for this week. Now check out our podcast of other cool dudes like Nate at entrepreneur.com. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.